The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, a warm welcome. A warm welcome to everybody. And tonight I wanted to just talk a little bit about this idea. One of the phrases that we use when we're doing loving kindness practice is, may you live with ease. There's so many different ways we can interpret that. There's lots of different ways. And in some ways, I kind of like the vagueness of it so that each of us can find our own interpretation that feels right at that moment, as opposed to having to have this sense that there's one exact way that it has to mean. But one way to think about it or consider it is having this feeling of being at home in some kind of way. Being at home in this body, in this mind, being at home with someone else, being at home in your physical surroundings, being at home on this planet. And this wish, this urge, this desire to find home, to find happiness, is a message maybe inside of us in some kind of way to encourage us to take care of ourselves, to be connected with ourselves, to pay attention to what's going on with ourselves, so that we can be not be a stranger, so we can be familiar or comfortable with ourselves, so we can feel at home, so we can live with ease. And this also comes with a sense of wanting to build some resilience or some happiness, some safety, of course, too. Maybe safety is a big part of wanting to be at home and to live with ease. And so this wish that we all have for our own well-being and our own happiness can be really constructive and really supportive. It's not selfish, it's not wrong to take care of ourselves. It's a way in which we can build our resilience and our capacity in which that we can support others and that we can draw from some of the strengths that we have to support others, as well as to not not to be a source of worry or concern for others unnecessarily. If we're able to take care of ourselves in terms of, as best we can, right? In terms of how we are able to take care of ourselves, right? We can't necessarily make ourselves completely healthy and happy just because we wish it. But I guess the point I want to say is it's not wrong to have this wish for ourselves. And it's instead, it could be a source of inner abundance or resourcefulness, maybe even a wellspring of energy that can support us and support us in helping others and help us to serve others, to create in the world, to offer things into the world. So this practice of loving kindness for ourselves is a natural wish for wanting ourselves to be happy and healthy. However, there are, of course, lots of people who dedicate their lives to serving others and do so in a way in which they have this attitude to do anything for themselves is selfish or self-centered. Maybe they don't recognize that we need this wellspring of energy. We need this resourcefulness. We need this sense of inner abundance in order to serve and support others in a way that it doesn't lead to burnout, that doesn't lead to bitterness, but instead is an expression of our love, an expression of our care, an expression of our wisdom. So this wish to find a home, to feel at home wherever we are, and this wish to have happiness and health and safety, and to live with ease. It's worthwhile to spend some time to cultivate and develop. It's worthwhile to really nurture and care for ourselves in a way that doesn't harm others, but in a way that allows us to show up in the world with the best version of ourselves. Okay, so with that as an introduction, you can do some loving kindness practice. We can start by taking 3 long, slow, deep breaths. And making the exhale just a tiny bit longer than the inhale, just physiologically, is a way to help us relax and settle. Not in a way that feels like we're straining or uncomfortable in any way, just a tiny bit longer with the exhale. In a really modest way. Allowing the attention to the inhale. Include attention to the entire breath, if you haven't done that already. Just feeling the sensations in the chest, in the belly, the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. What does it feel like to be breathing at this moment? Maybe tuning into the beginning, middle, and end of an exhale. And the transition at the end of the exhale. And the beginning, middle, and end of the inhale. allowing the breath to show itself to you. Maybe there are other experiences that are a little bit compelling. Sounds, sensations in the body. We can invite them into. Instead of considering them distractions or issues, and just fold them in. Yeah, this too. You could be mindful of that stabbing sensation in the knee, the neighbor's dog barking. This too. Sometimes it's helpful to tune into the feeling of the pressure against the body, the pressure of the chair, the cushion, the floor. Help us feel connected, grounded. And then to start our loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being, someone for whom it's easy, uncomplicated, simple to feel warmth, care, respect, goodwill, love, kindness. This might be somebody you know. It might be an imaginary being. And then to cultivate loving kindness, to support our loving kindness. Can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Allowing yourself to feel the goodness, the support of cultivating loving kindness. If you do have a warm-hearted feeling, that's being supported or growing or allow yourself to drink from that, to be nurtured, to be supported, be nourished. And if there isn't right now a feeling of warm-heartedness, loving kindness, can you appreciate that you have that intention? You're taking this time to cultivate your mind and heart in a wholesome, skillful, wise way. There might be a feeling of warmth in the body, in the chest, in the heart center. Maybe there's a sense of ease or spaciousness that accompanies this wish for the lovable being's well-being. We can also let this physical sensation, the bodily experience, if it's there, to support us. Mm. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to extend our loving kindness for ourselves. Notice if there's any shift in feeling or sensation. Can you have kindness and warmth for whatever that shift is, if it's there? Bringing to mind either the felt experience of this moment or an image of yourself. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Again, it might be helpful to use the bodily experience as support. If there's a feeling of warmth or spaciousness, ease, even if it's not the dominant experience, but just a sliver of your experience. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Some people find it supportive to put a hand on their heart. To connect with that experience of taking care of oneself. And then to expand our loving kindness for a neutral person, somebody we don't know. If possible, it's helpful to do it for a specific person. Maybe somebody on this Zoom call. And I suspect more and more you guys know one another. Or somebody in the neighborhood that perhaps you see on occasion, but don't really know. And bringing this person to mind and wishing them well. This can be transformative. This practice of wishing well even people we don't know. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. if it's helpful, you could dip back into, so to speak, loving kindness for the lovable being. If you feel like a little refresher or a little more connection to the intention. Sometimes with a neutral being, it's a little bit slippery. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And we'll do a little bit of equanimity practice here too. For this practice, bring to mind somebody who you care about and is a little bit troubling, annoying, irksome sometimes. Not the most difficult person, but somebody that maybe gets under your skin sometimes. And for equanimity practice, we can say this phrase. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea of living with ease and feeling at home with ourselves and taking care of ourselves is part of a way to help encourage living or feeling like we're at home, to build resilience, resourcefulness, energy, so that we can live from a place with the best wisdom for both ourselves and for others. So now I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms where you can talk about this idea of feeling at home and being at ease. Or you could talk about just what that guided meditation was like. And it's helpful if there's rather than one person giving a long monologue for a certain amount of time, it's helpful to just say one or two points, and then it goes to the next person, and then it goes to the next person, and then the next person, and then it comes back around, and you have an opportunity to say more, and perhaps you'll be influenced by what you heard in the earlier, hearing other people. So when you're not speaking, you're doing listening. And part of the reason you're doing speaking is just so that other people can listen. And we'll do this by, how about we do it by the first digit of your street address, so in numerical order. So if you live at 100 Main Street, 100, you probably would go first. But if you live at 999 First Street, you probably would go last. So have fun. Okay, so welcome back. Does anybody have some comments or questions, something they'd like to share?
Yes, Diana, I was in a group and we were talking about the session, and Lisa suggested that I ask you what wise effort meant.
Yeah. So wise effort has a technical meaning and kind of in the Buddhist tradition, and essentially it and there's so many different ways we can understand it, so I don't know if she's talking about the technical effort, the technical definition, which is to cultivate the wholesome and to abandon the unwholesome. That's kind of it in a nutshell, is this. And then of course it takes a little bit of wisdom to understand, okay, well, what is wholesome and what isn't wholesome, but that's the technical explanation. But sometimes when people say wise effort, they're talking about like the amount of effort. Like, should we be striving really hard, or should we relaxed about it? And in response to that, I will say, this is the art of practice, is to figure out and to learn for ourselves how much effort is enough and how much is too much. And we will never, this is part of how meditation works. You never figure it out once and have it completely done and you don't have to think about it again. If you're continually doing like, oh, okay, I think I need to apply a little bit more effort here because my mind is distracted. Or if you feel yourself getting tight because you're striving, then you definitely need to like back off. And it's kind of like one of these things. You're a little bit too much, maybe to the balance, and then a little bit less, and then going back. This is always how the practice is, a little bit too much striving, not enough effort, just in a kind of subtle way. So there we go. That's.
Thank you, Diana.
You're welcome. And thank you, Lisa, for asking that question, because I think it is a common question. And I think we're all secretly hoping that it'll be one answer and we'll just figure it out and we'll be done. But it doesn't work that way. Does anybody else have a comment or something they'd like to say?
I was just saying that that's somewhat situational, though. What is a wise effort in one situation might be quite different.
Absolutely. And that's exactly right. Exactly right. So that's why there isn't one, one way that it works.
I think it's part of the impermanence of all things. I just was in a silent retreat last week, and it was my first formal retreat, and I had all the foundation and theory and practice and everything. So impermanence, I think, is one of the key things that I keep. It's part of the main lesson, as you said, we want to just like, okay, now I feel great. Now I feel all this loving kindness and I want to stay here, but it doesn't happen. And that's what I was saying in the group, that I experienced this sort of blooming of my heart. And then a few minutes later, I felt like back to habitual state. And I was like, okay, let's just be okay with it. Let's not cling to the other state that I was. So yeah, it's definitely a practice and it will change all the time.
Nice. Thank you. That's right. It will change all the time. That's right. Okay. So it's the top of the hour and I want to respect everyone's time. So thank you all for coming here and sharing your practice and practicing together. So if you'd like to unmute, we could all say goodbye together. So,
goodbye.
Bye. Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
See you tomorrow.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. Bye, Diana.
Bye, sweet guys. Dreams.
Oh, hi, everyone.
Bye to Beth Diana.
Hi, Larry. Hi. Lovely to see you.
Oh.